It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast presented by betonline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast Podcast. They got the best odds, the fastest payouts, and an awesome, awesome code called Big Feast that gives you that 50% welcome bonus. That's huge. Speaking of huge, he is the man. I don't mean like huge like your physique, Evan, although he's a big dude. I just mean huge that we get a chance to talk to him every week. Evan Silva from Roto World, at Evan Silva. I think most of you know, but I'm Ross Tucker, former NFL offensive lineman, at Ross Tucker NFL. And we are year-round because fantasy football is year-round. All right, Evan. So it's interesting because I thought that we would get a guest on today, but in talking with you, you're like, no, man, we got to start to do some rankings for best ball because people can already on the draft app or at playdraft.com. I guess it's just draft.com now, or on the draft app, can already start to play in some of these best ball leagues. So it's already kind of initial rankings time, huh?
Yes, I have played five or six drafts so far on draft.com. MFL 10s and MFL 25s were purchased by Fanball, and they have not been released yet. We'll see what happens when they release their games. And I don't think that FFPC, they do a bunch of best ball. They offer a bunch of best ball games. They have not started either yet. When you play on draft, you can't draft rookies yet. So keep that in mind. But nobody can draft rookies, you know. So everybody's dealing with that. But, I mean, the drafts go really, really quick. I mean, I've had a very enjoyable experience really getting into playing on draft so far. And I needed to come up with my own rankings to be able to play. So I was like, well, I may as well put them on Roto-World. We may as well talk about them on the feast, and we're going to start with quarterbacks today.
I love it. Yeah, if we're going to talk about Roto World, that's what we want to do here. And certainly, if people are already playing best ball leagues, you know, at draft.com or on the draft app, let's do it. So we'll start. You want to start at 30 or at 1?
I guess let's start with 30, and we'll try to go quick at the back end.
Okay. Number 30, you got Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, this was between Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield. For me, Baker Mayfield, I actually have at 31. It looks like it's, you know, we're very, very early in the process. Nobody has even gone to the combine or anything. But it looks like Baker Mayfield will be competing with Josh Allen to be the third quarterback selected in the draft. I went with Tyrod Taylor. I think that Baker Mayfield is going to land, you know, again, very early. But I think he's going to land in that like 6 to 15 range, maybe with a team that already has, you know, a decent quarterback, like a team like the Dolphins, I think could look at him at like number 11. So I don't know for sure. I don't know how good of a bet right now he is to play right away. And obviously, if we're playing best ball, you know, you want your guys to be out there first and foremost, above all else. You want to make sure that you are drafting players that are playing. I think that Tyrod Taylor is a slightly better bet right now to open the season as some team starter. I have no idea who that's going to be. I highly doubt it's going to be the Bills. I think that they're going to move on from him. But I have him at number 30 right now.
Like it. 29 and 28, you got a couple rookies, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold.
Yes, Sam Darnold right now looks like the tentative, small, mild favorite to go number one overall to the Browns. He would be the youngest week one starting quarterback in NFL history. He's going to be a 20-year-old rookie. You know, I think that he would probably beat out DeShone Kizer and Cody Kessler and Kevin Hogan did not show very much last year, and one or both of those guys could get cut. So that's kind of what we're looking at with Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen, I think I have him below Sam Darnold because I think that he is the, again, very tentative favorite to go number two overall to the Giants. But I think that he would probably sit behind Eli Manning. I think that at least initially, I mean, the way that Pat Shurmur and Dave Gettleman, their coach and their new coach and GM have talked about Eli, you know, they think that he's got good football left. I think that it's just a matter of time if they take Josh Rosen before Eli gets benched. But Josh Rosen would not be a very good bet to start week one for the Giants. Of course, there's still a possibility that he could go, you know, number one overall to the Browns, et cetera, et cetera. I did want to include him in my top 30.
And Darnold?
Yeah, Darnold, I think, is probably going to end up with the Browns.
Interesting. We'll see. All right, so then Tannehill, 27. Ryan Tannehill.
Right, Ryan Tannehill. So he missed all of 2017 due to ACL surgery. We don't know about the Dolphins' commitment to him yet. Adam Gase is not, you know, he's been relatively supportive, but he certainly hasn't been adamant about Ryan Tannehill as his 2018 quarterback. I think that they need to add talent to the position. Matt Moore is a free agent. Jay Cutler is a free agent. Jarvis Landry is a free agent. I don't think that they're going to bring back Jarvis Landry. We'll see how that goes, but I think that it'll be a lot of Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker this year. I think they're going to move on from Julius Thomas. They really like Jakeem Grant, who was like their fourth receiver last year, showed some big playability. We just don't know yet with regard to Ryan Tannehill how the future is likely to play out yet. But I do think that he is worth including in the top 30. He's not a guy that I'm looking to draft in best ball right now.
26, you mentioned him earlier when talking about Rosen, Eli Manning.
Yeah, I think that it's really only a matter of time before Eli Manning gets benched. But, I mean, there is a conceivable scenario with Odell Beckham back. Evan Ingram showed a lot of potential as a rookie. Sterling Shepard, I mean, you can kind of like envision a scenario where Eli Manning ends up starting for all of 2018, especially if they get things like their defense fixed. I mean, they still have like some pretty good pieces on defense. Damon Harrison, Olivier Vernon, Jason Pierre-Paul. It's just, you know, those defensive ends were so banged up last year. They need to fix their linebacker core. But I think that it's going to come down to like winning for Eli Manning to be able to keep his starting job. I think that, you know, even if they take Rosen number two, there is a decent chance that Eli ends up starting the entire year. So that's why I have him at 26. Again, not a guy I'm looking to add in best ball, but he's like on the radar.
Very intrigued by this next one. Blake Bortles at 25.
Blake Bortles was good in fantasy in the final 6 weeks of the season. I mean, from weeks 12 through 16, he was the quarterback one overall. We were using him in daily fantasy. You know, we were starting him in season long. So he showed that he could be a high scorer in this offense, despite the fact that they treated him with kid gloves pretty much the entire year, up until leading that. And their defense just wasn't as good down the stretch. He was also pretty productive in the playoffs. Like from a fantasy standpoint, he can run. You know, that's always a huge deal for fantasy quarterbacks. I mean, in that the wild card game, he had like 88 rushing yards. You know, that's almost 9 points. And a good quarterback week is about 20 points. So that gets you almost halfway there with rushing production alone. I don't know about his job security, you know. This wrist injury, he is undergoing wrist surgery on his throwing wrist, and will he be able to pass a physical by the middle of March? We don't know. We would think not, actually. So I think that, and because he has this fifth-year option that is guaranteed only for injury, and the reason that, I mean, I think that this wrist surgery is going to end up keeping him safe on the roster. I think that they will try to bring in competition. But right now, I think that he has more upside than a guy like Eli Manning. It's just you still have concerns about his job security.
24, Flacco.
Yeah, Joe Flacco, he does have job security. I mean, look at his contract. They can't get out from beneath that contract for at least two more years. So I think that what their approach is going to be is to try to put as much around Flacco as they can. They have to revamp their wide receiver core again. I mean, Breshad Perriman looking like a bust. Jeremy Maclin was a major disappointment in his first year with Baltimore. He can be easily released. Mike Wallace is a free agent. Ben Watson is a free agent. So they have a lot of work to do in their receiver core, in their pass catcher core. Joe Flacco has been a top 12 fantasy quarterback just once in his 10-year career. So he's just never been good in fantasy, but he is a guy that you can add as a quarterback three in best ball because he's got job security. He's going to have a couple of good games. You know, he got better as last season progressed coming off that back surgery in the preseason.
23, Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton has just kind of – he's been better in fantasy than Joe Flacco has been, not by much, and that's why he's only one spot ahead of him. He's just like a mid to late second quarterback in fantasy, you know, in that 16 to 23 range. Just a guy that he's shown over the years that he needs everything perfect around him to play at a consistently high level. And, you know, last year they lost Eifert. They lost, you know, they didn't get anything from Tyler Boyd. And, you know, they were down to A.J. Green and a lot of Tyler Croft and a lot of Brandon LaFell. And the offensive line was bad. And, you know, can they get John Ross going? I don't really know. I think that Andy Dalton is what he is at this point, and that's like a fantasy backup.
22, Mitchell Trubisky with Matt Nagy now as his play caller and head coach, getting some college concepts in there.
Yes, he had an inconsistent rookie year, but he absolutely flashed. He got better as the season progressed, I thought. That is promising. He absolutely brings to the table some rushing ability. And I thought that his physical skills were all, you know, he definitely has the physical skills. It will be a matter of becoming a more consistent player. And it seems like the Bears right now are very committed to making decisions revolving around Mitchell Trubisky, you know, bringing in Matt Nagy, who worked with Andy Reid and is, you know, a quarterback's coach by trade, and bringing in Mark Helfrich from the college ranks. You know, the Chiefs under Matt Nagy and Andy Reid, they ran a lot of college concepts. My guess is that when they were, you know, figuring out how to implement those college concepts, they were talking to a guy like Mark Helfrich, and they probably like became friends during that time period. And then Matt Nagy gets the head coaching job in Chicago, and he's like, "Hey, Mark, why don't you come with me?" You know, Mark Helfrich is not going to be the play caller. Matt Nagy is, but I do like how they are. They're trying to be progressive with their offensive concepts, I think. And I think that bodes well for Mitchell Trubisky. He played in a spread offense at North Carolina. They need to add more weapons. I think that Adam Shaheen showed promise as a rookie tight end. They are getting Cameron Meredith back from the ACL. Kendall Wright is a free agent. Dontrell Inman is a free agent. And Kevin White, they just can't rely on him whatsoever. So they're going to need to make multiple pass catcher additions. But I like Mitchell Trubisky kind of as a sleeper for 2018. And he's going to be a guy who I think all offseason goes late in best ball drafts.
Number 21, Alex Smith, who was with the Chiefs, now with the Redskins, we think. Although based on the Josh McDaniels stuff, I guess people can always back out of things.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even really consider that because the trade can't become official until like March 14th.
Correct.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, Alex Smith was probably not going to have a similar season to what he did last year. I mean, you just go through all the years that he has played. He's played a lot of years, and that was an outlier amongst the rest. He was a top five fantasy quarterback. I think that he was going to take a little bit of a step back regardless, and I think that he's just going to be a solid second quarterback, you know, better than Andy Dalton, a little more upside than Andy Dalton, certainly more upside than Joe Flacco, safer pick than Mitchell Trubisky, and I think that that's just what Alex Smith is. We got him at 21. You know, the Redskins, they need – I mean, he would be able to offer some upside, I think, if everything kind of breaks right for him. They can get Jordan Reed back to playing 12 to 14 games a year, which he did in 2015 and 2016 before essentially missing all of last season. You know, I think that Jamison Crowder is a good receiver for Alex Smith's skill set, and he can have a solid year. You know, I think that if everything kind of goes right for the Redskins, Alex Smith can, again, like exceed expectations. But right now I'm just viewing him as like a solid high floor pick in Washington.
What about number 20? This is an interesting one. The next three or four are pretty interesting to me. You've got Andrew Luck at 20. He does not have a coach right now after what McDaniels did last night. And Chris Mortensen had a report on Sunday that there are still some doctors who think that he might have to undergo some type of additional surgery.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really scary pick. You know, I remember last year drafting him, and the general confidence level in Andrew Luck around, like, even in, like, June and July was still relatively high. You know, the coach or the GM, Chris Ballard, he was saying that he expected Andrew Luck to be ready. Jim Irsay was adamant that Andrew Luck would be ready. And they even took him off PUP to begin the season, which was really, really deceptive move by the Colts. I mean, I guess, you know, some people will say that he had a setback or whatever. But, you know, Dr. David Chow on Twitter was saying that he didn't think he was going to be ready in that 6-week window either. So I think that ultimately that was a deceptive move made by the Colts. We just don't know. And, you know, I made these rankings actually on Sunday. I would probably drop Andrew Luck down below Alex Smith and Mitchell Trubisky right now based on the developments that have occurred over the last 24 to 48 hours regarding worry that Andrew Luck may need a second shoulder surgery. And, you know, enhanced by the fact that Josh McDaniels backed out of his deal with the Colts to stay with the Patriots, it makes you wonder, did he hear something about Andrew Luck's shoulder that maybe he didn't know before? It's just he's such a risky pick in, like, when you're drafting in, like, February or March. I mean, it's just I don't think it's worth it right now. I would rather take Alex Smith or Mitchell Trubisky.
Up next, we've got number 19. I told you these three are really intriguing to me. Number 19, really these four, Derek Carr working with John Gruden.
Yes. Don't really know how that's going to go. We do know that he's a good bet for some positive touchdown regression. In 2015 through 2016, Derek Carr had a 5.4% touchdown rate, really solid. And last year, his touchdown rate fell to 4.3%. That's just below his career norms. He battled injuries. They may move on from Michael Crabtree. That was reported to be likely to occur by the Las Vegas Review-Journal in December. That was before they hired John Gruden, so we'll see how that goes through. But I just wanted to note that. But I do like Derek Carr as a late-round quarterback pick this year. I'm not sure that he's going to ever be the MVP type candidate that he was billed as at one point. I mean, he may still be, you know, but I think that right now, I think he looks like a potential value pick for 2018.
Number 18, Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes is just a freak show in terms of athleticism and arm strength. You love that the Chiefs were so confident in him that the first move of their offseason you know, besides like reserve future contracts, was to trade away Alex Smith. I mean, they did that pronto. So it's going to be, I expect it to be a full, you know, the full Patrick Mahomes show for the 2018 season. I'm sure that they'll bring in some form of competition. They may even draft another quarterback. They're one of the organizations that drafts a lot of quarterbacks and will take shots in the middle and late rounds. But I think that Patrick Mahomes offers a very, very high ceiling in terms of his week-to-week scoring. He is going to be able to rush for touchdowns. He's got a cannon arm. He's got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Chris Conley may be back from the Achilles. He's a sort of player that could work well with Patrick Mahomes, I think, as like a, Patrick Mahomes is like an improviser and with a great arm. And Chris Conley is a guy that is hard to cover for a long time and, you know, could excel as like the third option in that pass catcher core. But I love Patrick Mahomes' upside, and I think that he's going to get a lot of hype. He may rise up the rankings as we move forward. Right now I have him as the quarterback 18.
Number 17, the guy that we expect to be a free agent, that is Kirk Cousins, and this isn't really fantasy related, but I'm so excited that he's going to be a free agent and that we get to see where he lands. I feel like I've been waiting my whole life for this to have like a legitimate good quarterback who's going to actually be a free agent. I can't wait.
Yeah, and the landing spot is going to be everything for his fantasy outlook. I have him ranked real conservatively here. I mean, he's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback each of the last three seasons. I have him at 17. I think that his best case scenario would be the Vikings. He would get to play indoors. He gets to play with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen and Kyle Rudolph. They don't even have an OC right now. But I think that just putting him with those weapons, you know, he could make the OC look good. And then I think his second best landing spot would be Denver. But I think that that would be a significant drop off from Minnesota. And then if he ends up going into like the Jets or the Browns, then you start to get concerned, you know, how is he going to fare? So it's going to be very tied. His outlook is going to be very tied to his landing spot. But right now, and right now I have him ranked conservatively. I could see him moving down or moving significantly up, like if he goes to Minnesota.
Number 16, Jimmy G. I almost thought he'd be higher on this list.
Yeah, he might deserve to be higher. I'm going kind of conservative. I'm starting off the offseason kind of conservative. In the best ball drafts I've done, though, people are taking him. You know, people are taking him much higher than this, so obviously I didn't get him at all. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. He was the Jimmy Garoppolo with, you know, being acquired during the season and thrown into the Kyle Shanahan's offense where, you know, Matt Ryan for his entire first season, he stunk his first year in Kyle Shanahan's offense. And then, of course, he took off in year two of Kyle Shanahan's offense. Jimmy Garoppolo picked it up right away. He was the quarterback 7 in fantasy from weeks 13 through 17. He shredded the Bears, Jags, and Rams. Bears had an above-average pass defense. Jags and Rams both had top 5 pass defenses. So, you know, I want to see them acquire another, like a red zone threat. I would like to see them get a big X receiver like an Allen Robinson. And, you know, to go with Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin and, you know, see the ascension of George Kittle. Most of the issues that that Jimmy Garoppolo encountered as a rookie or as in his first year with the 49ers were that he just wasn't throwing many touchdown passes. He was throwing for a lot of yards. He ran for a touchdown or two, and he averaged almost 9 yards per attempt. I mean, he straight lit it up, but they struggled in the red zone period. So I would like to see them add one more red zone dominator. I have him conservatively here. I think you can absolutely argue for Jimmy Garoppolo in the top 12.
Number 15, Philip Rivers, old man Rivers.
Old Man Rivers, just a high floor play every single year. He's been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 8 of the last 10 seasons. You kind of know what you're getting. You expect a little bit more ascension from Hunter Henry, who has been just outstanding whenever he's gotten significant playing time. This will be Mike Williams' second year. Don't really know what to expect from him. I thought that Tyrell Williams was a little bit disappointing last year. But, I mean, there's plenty of weapons, you know, for him in Los Angeles. And you know what you're going to get out of Phillip Rivers every season.
Number 14, Dak Prescott.
He will be a heavily debated player. He has been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in each of his first two seasons. He's shown, you know, in his 2017 was really a tale of two halves. Because in the first half, he was, you know, pretty much everything that you would want in a fantasy quarterback, because he was a high floor play who had spiked weeks. And then that's exactly what you want from anyone on your fantasy roster, a guy who you can rely on. And every once in a while, you know, they'll give you a score where it's like they'll make up for another guy on your team's score because, you know, they'll just score so many points that it doesn't even matter that another guy had a slow game on your roster. But then in the second half of the season, I mean, the struggles of the Cowboys passing game were enough that I think that there is cause for legitimate concern that maybe Dak Prescott isn't as good as he showed in his rookie, in his first like 24, 25 games, including the playoffs, because after they lost Ezekiel Elliott, just all the limitations in their passing game were exposed. And they also were missing Tyron Smith, of course, and Lyle Collins didn't have a great year at right tackle. But you know, the limitations of their passing game were very clear. You know, Cole Beasley has not been the same guy since he played through a torn hamstring down the stretch of the 2016 season. Dez Bryant just doesn't get open like he used to. And Jason Witten, you know, he's loved Jason Witten, but he can't run anymore. And Terrence Williams doesn't really add a positive impact. So, he really had like a really weak pass catcher core last year, but it wasn't clear how weak that pass catcher was until they lost Ezekiel Elliott. And then when Ezekiel Elliott came back, I mean, it wasn't like everything snapped right back into place. I think the Cowboys need to add speed to their pass catcher core badly. And I also think that they need to take more seriously their offensive line depth, because their offensive line depth, like when they would lose a guy last year, the drop off to the next guy was catastrophic.
Number 13, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, Jameis Winston. So they're getting all their guys back. Mike Evans, he's due for some positive touchdown regression. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he scored 5 touchdowns last year. He had 12 or more in 2 of his first 3 seasons. He's going to score more touchdowns in 2018. DeSean Jackson, they just kind of never got it rolling with Jameis Winston in the first year. That will happen with free agent wide receivers. I expect DeSean Jackson to return. You know, there, I think that there is an outside chance they could part with him because Chris Godwin balled out as a rookie when he got opportunities, especially in that week 17 game. And he's a guy they need to get on the field, you know, whether it be at like slot receiver, if they bring back DeSean, I have to look at what the contract stipulations would be for the Bucs moving on from DeSean Jackson. I think he'll be back, and I think that they can try to incorporate Chris Godwin more in the slot, but they need to get Chris Godwin on the field. O.J. Howard is going to be a popular breakout candidate. Cameron Brate will be back, you know, as a possession and red zone tight end. They have a ton of weapons in Tampa Bay. And Jameis Winston needs to stay healthy. I mean, one of the biggest reasons that he was a disappointment this past year was because he had problems with his throwing shoulder, which, you know, just wasn't just a one-time occurrence. It came back and affected him later in the season. So, and then he finished really strong. I mean, he still made too many turnovers, you know, from a real football standpoint. But in fantasy, in the box score, he finished really strong over the last 5 or 6 games. So I have him at quarterback 13 here. I don't know. I feel pretty comfortable with that ranking.
Number 12, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff was the quarterback 12 last year. I think he's got room for growth with Sean McVay, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Gerald Everett, who I think could step up and ascend in 2018. All those guys are under contract long term. Sammy Watkins is a free agent. The beat writers think that the Rams may franchise tag Sammy Watkins. You know, I think that Sammy Watkins would be very likely to play or to produce more than he did in 2017 in his second year in the offense. We'll have to see how that goes. But I think that Jared Goff is just a real solid pick. You know, doesn't add a lot with his legs, but I would expect him to continue to get better. He's a really young player. I mean, he came out of Cal really young. I think he's like 22 or 23. So I just think he's another real solid pick.
Number 11, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan will be a guy that a lot of people are down on after his 2017. He did not throw more than two touchdown passes in any game all year. The offense was like a lot more slow and stale under Steve Sarkisian. They're bringing back Steve Sarkisian. I think they need to add another receiver. They've got Julio and Sanu, but Taylor Gabriel's a free agent. They need another guy who can stretch the field, I think, and hopefully they prioritize that. Austin Hooper, I think, was okay in his second year. I was hoping that he'd be a little bit better. But, I mean, their weapons are, I would say, kind of average right now. Julio is obviously fantastic, but I would like to see them add to their receiver core. I have Matt Ryan probably higher than most people would have him. I just think he's a good bounce-back bet in 2018. His touchdown rates just crashed from 2016, which I think was expected, but probably not to the extent that it did. He's always been a top 12 fantasy quarterback, but except for the last 2 years where he was like, you know, the number one or the number two, and then last year he was like in the 20s. I think he'll bounce back to be a top 12 guy, and I have him at 11 right now.
Big Ben at 10 seems a little low, but I'm curious to get your thoughts as to why.
Yeah, he's been a top 8 fantasy quarterback just once in the last 10 years. A lot of that is due to the fact that he will intermittently like miss games. So that will hurt his yearly scoring. He does have that big game potential. Juju Smith-Schuster will be entering his second year. Antonio Brown should be all systems go, of course. I don't think that they're going to let Le'Veon Bell go. I think that he'll probably end up playing under another franchise tag. Martavis, you know, we'll see what to expect from him. Ben is going to be – I think he's going to be continue to be a risk to miss games, but he's going to give you really big weeks. I mean, he'll have games where he throws for like friggin' 400 yards or like 3 or 4 touchdowns, you know, and those can be weak winners. He is ranked a little conservatively here. He's just old and he has a tendency, with the exception of last year, to miss a few games each season.
Number 9, Matthew Stafford, who it looks like Jim Bob Cooter will stay in Detroit.
Yeah, top 10 fantasy quarterback in 4 of the last 5 years. I think the arrow is still pointing up on their pass catcher core. Marvin Jones took a big step forward in his second year in the offense. I expect Golden Tate to return. Eric Ebron is still young. He played well at the end of the season. And Kenny Golladay could be a guy that really takes this offense to another level if he's able to stay healthy. He battled a hamstring injury a lot as a rookie. But, man, he flashed some vertical ability, some red zone ability. So I think that Matthew Stafford is a really high floor guy with good upside for 2018.
Number 8, Deshaun Watson, coming off the torn ACL. Looks like the day after the Super Bowl, he started running a little bit on a treadmill.
Yes, in weeks 2 through 8, Deshaun Watson outscored all fantasy quarterbacks by 6 points per game. Now, if you're familiar with like fantasy quarterback scoring, it's really a game of inches. You know, like the number one scorer will be like 22 points. The number two scorer will be like 21.5 points. You know, the number three scorer will be like 20.9 points. It's always very tightly bunched together. So to see someone separate from the pack by 6 points for an extended period is just ridiculous, and that gives you a glimpse at the upside of Deshaun Watson. Now, there are concerns. His touchdown rate was, I mean, it was like the best in NFL history. It was the best in, it was the best during his run under center in the NFL by far, 9.3%. He has torn his ACL twice since 2014. Will defenses have a better read on him in his second year? That's possible. I think that they need to make moves in their pass catcher corps. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is a stud, and Will Fuller will be back healthy. But they, you know, C.J. Fedorowicz has had so many concussions, he may have to retire. They don't have a whole lot else at tight end. They don't have a whole lot at third receiver. Bruce Ellington would be the guy to bring back. He's a free agent right now. Deshaun Watson's going early in the drafts that I've done so far. He's gone very, very early. Was never even really on my radar at the point where he went. I get it, because, you know, we saw what he could do last year. It's a little risky for me, but it's clear that he is going to be a highly, highly sought after commodity, I think, in 2018 fantasy football. I have him at quarterback 8. Most people probably have him like in the top 6, I think.
I think Mariota at 7, you know, with them getting LaFleur, is interesting.
Yeah, I agree. So he had a 2.9% touchdown rate. That is going to climb. I really have no question about that. Marcus Mariota was a good fantasy quarterback each of his first two seasons. I expected more from him last year. I think that pretty much everyone did. Especially after their pass catcher additions. Now Corey Davis will be going into year 2. Taywan Taylor will be going into year 2. Delanie Walker, you know, he can still play for sure. And then Rashard Matthews, really solid number 2 receiver. I have Marcus Mariota taking a big step forward under Matt LaFleur, under Mike Vrabel. You know, he brings to the table that rushing ability. You know, I think that he doesn't have the upside that Deshaun Watson does, but I have Marcus Mariota higher than him because I think that the floor is higher right now. If we see a lot of promising moments from Deshaun Watson throughout the offseason and into training camp in the preseason, you know, I'll probably move him up. But right now, as it stands, February 7th or something like that, I have Marcus Mariota above Deshaun Watson.
Number 6, Drew Brees.
Drew Brees. So, you know, his upside was limited last year by solid defensive play, much better running game. I think that the running game will still be good in 2018. It probably won't be quite as dominant. And I think that the defense also may take a step back. I mean, they need to add more pieces on that defense. If they don't, they're not going to be as good. So we saw what Drew Brees could do. First of all, none of his rate stats, his efficiency stats, went down. He led the NFL in completion rate, 72%, led the NFL in yards per attempt, 8.1. I mean, the dude was still really, really playing at a super high level. His attempts were way down, et cetera, because of the team situation. We saw what he could do. He lit up the Panthers in the wild card round. So he still very much has it in him. I would like to see them make another addition in the pass catcher core, but I think he's a high floor super. He's always been a super high floor fantasy quarterback, but I think that he will have more spiked weeks in 2018 than he did in 2017.
Number 5, Cam Newton with Norv Turner as his OC. This is an interesting one to me.
Cam Newton has been a top 4 fantasy quarterback in 5 of his 7 NFL seasons. So, you know, if you've ranked him high over the course of his career, you've been right much more than you've been wrong. I would say that Norv Turner as the Panthers OC is a concern. This is also another, you know, offense that needs to add some pass catcher help. I mean, Curtis Samuel flashed as a rookie. Greg Olsen kind of came on down the stretch, and he should be good to go. He you know, you worry about those guys who have Jones fractures, though. They often end up requiring a second surgery. And then Devin Funchess, this will be his contract year. You know, is he up to the task to be a full-time number one receiver for a full season? I would say that he played well enough, I think, last year to give some promise on that. But I think they need another guy. But yeah, how it goes with Norv Turner, that's difficult. That's difficult to say. Norv Turner is like a real old school coach at this point. And will he be able to adapt his offense to fit the strengths and weaknesses of Cam Newton? I think that there are arguments for it, and I think that there are some good arguments against it. So I have Cam in the top five because that's where he almost always finishes. But there are concerns here.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That'll be interesting. Obviously, you know, Ron Rivera, who I like, is betting his career on it at this point. Yeah. How about Carson Wentz coming off the ACL that happened in December as your number four?
Yeah, I would probably have Carson Wentz as the quarterback two if he was 100% healthy. Only Russell Wilson outscored Carson Wentz before he tore his ACL and LCL in week 15. I mean, he was putting together monster weeks. I think that the one biggest concern is how will it affect his athleticism, such an underrated part of his game, not only as a second reaction quarterback and an escape guy, but also as just a straight up scrambler, because he can run for touchdowns and he can add a lot of yardage to his box score on a weekly basis with his athleticism. 75%, or I'm sorry, at 75th percentile, a spark athlete. He's a great, great athlete. How will this affect his running ability? But I have, you know, his pass catcher core is in awesome shape. His offensive line is in above average shape. Looks like Jason Peters wants to come back for 2017. You know, you really believe in his coaching staff at this point. And even coming off this knee injury, I have enough confidence in him to put him as the quarterback four. Again, if he was 100%, I'd have him as the quarterback two.
Yeah, by the way, the Eagles have the least amount of cap space in the league. I have a tough time picturing my former teammate Jason Peters coming back, especially with the way Vitae played over the last month or so. And I do think Jason wants to play. You know, they got to make some tough decisions, and unfortunately that might be one of them. Number three, Tom Brady, who is still the quarterback of the Patriots, still has his offensive coordinator, and did not play his best game in the Super Bowl and threw for over 500 yards and 3 touchdowns.
So he's still pretty good.
He literally missed some throws, and, you know, he dropped the pass, he missed some throws, and he took that. Wasn't a sack, but he got tackled at the end of the first half. I mean, it was not his best game.
No, it really wasn't. There was a throw that he left on the table to Gronk on that first drive of the second half. It was like, what is he doing? You know, he totally missed a throw. And then the announcer started talking about it. Of course, then rest of that drive, he's just feeding Gronk, and they just impose their will, and Gronk scores a touchdown. But you're right. I mean, and when he got.
By the way, Evan, I don't remember, like in all my life, I don't remember another guy where it feels like if the team says, let's just throw it to him every play, that they can't just get that done. It's unbelievable.
I know. He's.
And now he's talking like he might not play.
He'll be back, man. Although that would be a concern for Brady if he doesn't come back, because I mean, you can go back and look at the split stats with and without Gronkowski on the field for Tom Brady, and it's stark. You know, it's huge, it's drastic. But I expect Gronk back, or else I would have Brady much lower. He's the quarterback three here. He's entering his age 41 season. He led the NFL in passing yards per game at age 40, and he just lit up a top five Eagles pass defense for over 500 yards in the Super Bowl. I think he's got a lot left.
Number two, Russell Wilson, who has a new offensive coordinator in Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah, this is another one of these, like, retread, you know, OC hires. You're, like, kind of scratching your head. How does this guy end up coming back in the NFL as an offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer? Russell Wilson has been a top three fantasy quarterback in three of the last 4 years. He was the number one overall fantasy quarterback in 2017. He led the NFL in touchdown passes. So I think that he's got a little bit higher floor than Tom Brady. He's obviously healthier than Carson Wentz, higher floor than Cam Newton, you know, and all kinds of upside. They are going to have to make some moves in their pass catcher core. Baldwin is back. Tyler Lockett is back. But Jimmy Graham's a free agent. Paul Richardson, who was a difference maker for them, is a free agent. They're going to have to make some moves. They have very little depth at those positions. Nick Vinette would be the next man up. Luke Wilson's a free agent too. Nick Vinette would be the next man up at tight end. And then I don't think Tyler Lockett has played well enough, has shown enough to be a starter, to be like locked in as a starter. And then they have Amara Darboh and like Tanner McAvoy in their receiver corps. They're going to have to make moves, but Russell Wilson's dual threat ability, I think he's a top three fantasy quarterback pretty much every year.
Number one, coming off a broken collarbone, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers has finished number one or number two among fantasy quarterbacks in seven of the past 10 years. Two of the years where he did not finish as the number one or number two fantasy quarterback occurred when he broke his collarbone. So, you know, this dude is like the best quarterback in football, I think. And, you know, when he's healthy, obviously, they just locked up Davante Adams, which I think was a smart move. They're going to have to make a decision, I think, on Randall Cobb or Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson would be a really interesting guy to debate all offseason. I think I'm going to take a more positive stance on him, but that will depend upon, you know, obviously the Packers got to keep him, etc. But I think that they would be more likely to move on from Randall Cobb. We'll see how it goes, but I was looking at the cap hits. It's about the same. They save about the same if they cut Randall Cobb versus cutting Jordy Nelson. Ultimately, they may just ask both of these guys to take pay cuts, but you know, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the game, and that shows up in fantasy for sure.
I love it. This was fantastic, Evan. Very, very cool. I'm looking forward to doing more of these. It's cool to do this right after the season while it's still fresh in our mind. Of course, we'll do this again, you know, in August leading up to redraft season, or I guess late June, August.
Yeah, tears of Evan. It's basically tears of Evan, you know, just done from a rankings angle as opposed to tears.
Yeah, it's like a rankings best ball tears of Evan, but we don't have the song. Maybe we'll come up with something. Evan, fantastic work as always. That'll do it for this week's Fantasy Feast. I love it. Already getting rankings February 7th of the quarterbacks for the best ball leagues that we know are getting more and more popular. You know Evan's Twitter handle is at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL on both Twitter and Instagram. My Facebook is facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. We cannot express enough our gratitude for those of you that give us the retweets and the likes and help us spread the word in that way. It's huge, just like those of you that that download multiple times on multiple devices or the iTunes rankings and comments. That's for studs also. Of course, if you ever want to take advantage of any of our sponsors, they're over at rawsucker.com. They're awesome, or we wouldn't take them. And if you take advantage of any of them ever, make sure you forward it to me with whatever your question is, because then I'll read and respond to it right here on the show. Other than that, totally, totally stuffed. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does it actually mean? The same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody. All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the True Car price, the true price on cars, like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car you want. And your certified dealer knows this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.